Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. I invite you to open your Bibles and read the scripture along with me. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. 21 through 33. I would also like to invite you that this whole study of Ephesians, as well as a few lessons from our previous study, you can find those on our website, morningstarbaptistchurch.com. Then just look for the preaching and teaching, and you can go back and you can find the previous lessons. If you haven't been following, I'll invite you and ask you to go back and look at some of those previous lessons as well. It's been a good study in the book of Ephesians. Our lesson today is walking in submission to Christ. Walking in submission to Christ. Today's lesson is to present the biblical ideal for marriage. Now, Mr. Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, he got it right. Chick-fil-A stood for the biblical definition of marriage, that's one man and one woman. And then also we're going to look at submission. That's a bad word in our society today. The dictionary defines submit as to yield or surrender oneself to the will or authority of another. Now, of course, you have the Women's Lib movement. You have the ACLU. And they say, well, there's no difference between a man and a woman. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the woman will keep the home. And the woman will have the children. The Bible teaches that men will work by the sweat of their brow and is responsible for the family. Now, when we look at the biblical view on marriage, it pictures the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. God's view on marriage is that it reflects Him and His perfect design. He is the one that set up marriage. So what are the differences in the way the world views marriage and the way God views marriage? Well, the world says, well, the husband and wife are equal. But God's word says that man is the head of the home. Marriage requires ongoing maintenance. Our text today forms a good basis for that maintenance. If you haven't read the lesson, I encourage you to go back and do so. This week, we're looking at the husband and the wife. Next week, we're going to see what God says about the children. Paul begins to illustrate the duty of submission in reference to the wives in verses 22 through 24. And then next week we'll see the children in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and also the servants in chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. We'll be getting to that next week. But however, he also teaches how authority should be used in the proper manner, how husbands should treat their wives and their children, and how masters should treat their servants. So let's look into our text, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 21. And the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, back in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we've already looked at that Paul writes that we're to walk lowly and meekly. We're to submit to one another, not try to rule one another. And also back in chapter 3, verse 14, he writes that the spirit of the Christians should be one of submission. The key to submission is to recognize that God is in control of it all. Even the ones to whom the Christian might submit. If we submit to God, we won't have a problem with submitting to others. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, to put that in Packlet language, what it means is we need to put God first, and then we need to put others over ourselves. And I can tell you it will make a difference in our Christian walk. Now back to Ephesians 5:21, it says, in the fear of God. Well, that's a major problem today, isn't it? A lot of people today just does not have a fear of God about them. I saw people come back to fear God on 9/11 when the World Trade Centers fell. But now, after a few years after 9/11, it's just like, well, we're back to our old ways. If someone has a fear of God, they will submit to Him. I can tell you that I had more fear of God as a lost man than a lot of Christians do today. Because even when I was lost, I respected the church house. I respected and honored God's man. I respected God's word, and I even believed it. Today, we seem to be in trouble. People will come dressed for church like they're going to the beach. They'll talk and criticize God's man and have him for lunch after church. They treat the Bible as no more than another book or reading the newspaper. They'll accept any teaching and doctrine that comes along, especially if it's what they want to hear. Churches are getting broken into, God's house being desecrated. I even saw on the news a couple weeks ago where they were setting a church on fire. Even in Packlet several years ago, I remember a Baptist church, even in our area, was destroyed by someone that just did not have the fear of God in their life. And we're going to get to the crux of the message. Look at verse 22 through 24. Wives, now there's no doubt, no debate on who the Bible is talking about here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband, there's no doubt who that is the head of the wife. Wow, that could get someone stoned today. But here's the reason why. It's even as Christ is head of the church, and to say he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It's pretty clear, not much room for debate. Now, there are two sides to submission. Number one, a wife who is in submission to God will understand and accept the role of being in submission to her husband. She'll understand the God's rule of order. And on the other side, a man who loves his wife must heed to verse 21, which speaks of mutual submission to the needs of others. According to the Bible, there is one man in the world that a wife is to submit above all others and in everything. Well, who is that? Is that her boss? Is that her boss at work? Is that her friend? Is that her co-workers? What man should she submit to? But the Bible says it's her own husband, not someone else's husband. Her own husband. Most wives work today. They'll go to work and they'll submit and do whatever the boss man says. And then they'll come home and argue and ignore their own husbands. There's a certain lady that comes to my mind. She's a Christian. But I remember her several years ago, and I'll never forget this. She came home from work one day, and I happened to be in the house. And boy, and she was dressed. I mean, she had her makeup on. She was dressed to kill. Dressed to get attention. Dressed to move up the ladder, if you will. But then as soon as she walked in the door, I was in the other room, I heard her just a hollering and a fussing at her own husband and talking down to him like he was a nobody. I guarantee you she didn't do that at work. In Genesis 3:16, it says, "Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." That's not Tommy's theology or philosophy. That's what God said. So if you're sitting there gnawing your teeth and your eyes are starting to water and you're getting mad at what I'm saying, just remember, this is what God said. But not just to be submissive, wives, but have a desire to be submissive. Christ is head of the church. Husbands are head of the home. And the women are to be keepers of the home. Women, here are some biblical instructions for you to follow. If you want to turn there and read it with me, so you'll know that this is what God says in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste. Now, here it is, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I noticed that the Bible always is putting that word on, O-W-N. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Wives, if you're not doing this, if you say this is wrong, if you rebel against this, God says that that's a blasphemy. However, even though a wife should submit to her own husband and be obedient to him, Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that you're to follow after sin. In other words, if your husband tells you to smoke dope, rob a bank, don't do it. If your husband tells you to do something against the word of God, God overrules. If, however, it's not against God's word, then the Bible is clear. You must be submissive to your own husband. God has a reason for this order. He sets up order in the church. He sets up order in the home. In all things, God has an order. And the only other option you have is disobedience. And disobedience is rebellion. And that will cause major problems. Well, I guess that's why divorce is running rampant in America. I'd always heard that 50% of marriages end in divorce. Well, it's so high now that I'm hearing even 50% of Christian marriages will end in divorce. Well, that ought not be. If we go by God's order, it won't be. And women's lib telling women to do their own thing, no fear of God, no order in the home. And husbands abusing their authority and doing what's right in their own eyes. Why does God position the man over the wife? It's because the wife is a picture of the church. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. Christ is the head, he's the authority. And if the church puts itself equal with Christ, just like the wife putting herself equal with the husband, it causes major confusion. Same way in the marriage. If you're a wife here this morning and you rebel and you say, well, you're not submitting to your husband, even if he's following the word of God, then you can take it to the bank. You will not have a spirit-filled life, and you will not have a marriage that God intended you to have and will honor. So to what extent should you submit? In everything that does not contradict God's word. So what if you don't have a Christian husband? Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 and then 5 through 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And notice that word "own." That if any obey not the word, if the husbands are lost or the husbands are disobedient to God's word, that they also may be, then they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Be won. Verses 5 and 6. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Well, just hold your place here. We'll come back and pick up those next couple of verses. Because as the woman pictures the church, man pictures Christ. God made man and woman in his own image, taking woman out of man's side. This pictures the church coming from Christ's side at Calvary. To attack the institution of marriage is attacking the spiritual truth that marriage portrays. Let me add, the institution of marriage is only with one man and one woman. Yes, homosexuality. Yes, this so-called same-sex marriage. They're an abomination to God. Leviticus 18:22, chapter 20, verse 13, and all throughout the Bible. Ephesians 5:25, back to our text. Okay, wives, I've been picking on you. Now let's get to the husbands. Or actually, I haven't been picking on you. I've just been telling you what God says. And he says this about the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, now we husbands were going along pretty good until we got to this verse. Do you, husbands, love your wife this much? This agape love, this God, Christ-filled love, the kind of love Christ had for us when he went to Calvary. Do you love your wife that much? Because I'm sure if we love our wives this much, if we love their wives like God loves us, then they will not have a problem submitting to us. If we have this kind of love, we won't bully, we won't neglect, we won't humiliate, we won't mistreat, we won't dishonor or disrespect our wives. The husband represents the Lord and the wife represents the church. And just as Christ gave himself for the church, husbands, let me ask you this question. Are you willing to lay down your life for your wife? If the bad guys comes up, are you willing to stand in front of that bullet to protect your wife and family? Are you willing? Do you love your wife enough? Are you willing to die for her if necessary? Now, wait a minute. Don't say that's ridiculous. The Bible says we're to love our wives that much. Just as Christ loved the church, how much does Christ love the church? He spread out his arms and let them nail him to a tree, a cross. He willingly laid down his life for us. Why? Because he first loved us. He loved us that much. And husbands, wake up. Look up. Don't hang your head. Look up. Husbands. You're to love your wife that much. You're to love your wife that much. And there's no stipulations. It doesn't say, well, if she does this or she does that. No, our love is to be unconditional. Isn't that the kind of love Christ had for us? Unconditional. He loved us even when we were unlovely. I'm thankful Christ's love towards us is unconditional. When the woman said, I do, and became our wife, just as we called on Jesus to save us, he didn't say, go clean yourself up first. Come as you are. Well, he didn't say, work your way in by doing this or doing that. No. One place that husbands fail in leading the home is in spiritual things. Husbands, it's our place to make sure our family is in church. But little Johnny's the best player on the team and he's got a ball game Sunday morning. They're playing in a tournament and they'll lose if little Johnny's not there. You're teaching your wife, little Johnny, and your family, and everyone that's watching that ball game you're teaching them that the things of this world is more important than the things of God. Husbands, it's your fault. Little Johnny is on that ball field Sunday morning instead of the church house. It's your place to make sure that they're where they're supposed to be. It's your place, it's our place, husbands, to make sure the family prays together and stays on that right spiritual path. But is the Bible ever read in your home? Other than blessing the food, is prayer ever heard? We have an awesome, husbands, we have an awesome responsibility in leading our family. When it says husbands, the head of the home, that comes with humongous responsibility. And we'll have to give an account to God for the way we led in the home. The way we treated our wife, our children. How we let little Johnny play ball on a Sunday morning instead of going to church. The homes are in trouble today. I hope it's not your home. Can I just say that it's the husband's fault? Of course, another problem today is, as we've already mentioned, in over half of the homes, even Christian homes, the husband is missing. I said to hold your place. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. We read about the wives a while ago. Well, let's see what 1 Peter says about the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife and as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Can I just say here, the rubber meets the road. If we don't honor our wives, it will hinder our prayer life. Husbands, could it be that you can't get a prayer through? Is it because you don't honor your wife? It says it'll hinder your prayer. You be mean, you spout off, you abuse your wife, you can't even pray to God and get an answer. And he says the women are the weaker vessel. Women, most of them anyway, goes by emotions. So husbands are to take the lead and make sure the family decisions are not based on emotions, but that the family decisions are based on what thus saith the Lord. Back to our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now that word sanctify means to set apart. Cleanse means to clean it up. Set apart, clean it up according to the word of God. If you and your wife hollers, fights, cusses, no discipline with the children, no trust, you do not have a Christ-filled marriage. Get back to the Bible. Get back to the Bible today. Run back to God. You say you got a marriage that's failing. Well, can I just challenge you? Wives, husband, try it God's way. It will work every time. When we husbands obey the word and allow God to use us and work through us, then our family will follow. If we deprive our wives or children of their spiritual heritage, then we run the risk of reaping the neglect, the fruit of neglect. Back to our text, verse 27 through 33. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. You ever heard this in a marriage ceremony? And shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Well, this is a great mystery. What's the mystery? But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now we're in the future. Back in verse 25, we were in the past. Loved the church enough to die for it. Verse 26 was the present. Every day we must be cleansed by God's word. And then in verse 27, the future, one day Jesus will present himself a glorious church, a bride that is spotless, holy, and without blemish. Now, this is not accomplished by criticizing, complaining, scolding, ignoring the problems. God has a better plan. Husbands, minister to your wife in love. And this, of course, requires us husbands to be in a proper, growing relationship with the Lord. God has always intended for marriage to picture the truth of Christ's relationship to the church. There's a lot of good programs in the church to encourage couples in the Lord. But the greatest spiritual strength comes from a spiritually strong, healthy family. It starts in the home. And husbands, that's where you should take the lead. In verse 31, it says, we became one. That's why when my wife hurts, I hurt. When she's sad, I'm sad. When she's rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. In verse 32, it says, it's a great mystery. What's the mystery? The mystery is that marriage represents Christ and the church. And it's a divine institution, and it's God's plan being revealed. A mystery is a truth that's being revealed in the Word of God. He reveals the plan for marriage as Christ and the church. In verse 33, husbands, do you want your wife to respect and reverence you? Then love her as much as you love yourself. Do you go around fussing at yourself? Criticizing yourself? When two hearts are submitted to God's will, when two hearts are submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit, then that marriage can and will glorify God. We cannot submit to human authority of any kind unless we first submit to the authority of God. Wives, you're never going to submit to your husband, to your own husband, until you first submit to God. I promise you, if you do it God's way, you submit to God, put God first, strive to be, want to be like Christ, strive to be in the center of God's will, then you won't have a problem submitting to your own husband. Who are you submitting to today? How is your marriage today? Does it need cleansing? Today, getting around the good old-fashioned altar or getting in your prayer closet would be a good place to start. And then apply these verses we studied this morning straight from the Word of God into the family unit. So goes the home, so will go the church. I hope you got something out of the lesson this morning. I hope you've allowed God to speak to you. Go back and reread these verses. Go back and study these verses. Go back and meditate on these verses. Husbands and wives, God, He sort of laid down the law for both of us. My prayer this morning is that we all heed His advice, heed His word, be obedient to it. May God bless you.